We're going to start this morning by turning our Bibles to Revelation chapter 22. And we're going to talk about a very, very important subject this morning. And one that will certainly challenge each one of us today. Here we have an invitation in the Bible from God. Revelation 22 and verse 17, it says this, "And the Spirit and the Bride," that's Jesus, "says, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." The invitation of God is, whosoever will. And this morning I would like to talk about the fact that everyone has been given by God a will. Amazing thing. You and I have been given a will. We have a will that we can exercise that determines everything in our life. And so, life is about the choices that we make with that free will. I have a very sad story to tell you that emphasizes and illustrates the fact that every man was created with a free will. Mark Cahill tells this story. As he was in flying on a plane, and I'll just read what he says. "So Joe came up to sit next to me, and we began to chat. I found he was a very nice man. As we were flying, I hadn't found a door to walk through to get things rolling into a spiritual conversation. So I said, Can I ask you an interesting question? He said, Sure. And so Mark says, When you were a kid, were you raised in any religious faith or belief system? He said, Yes, Methodist. I said, Now that you are older, is that more important to you or less important? His response of less had a very definite edge to it. So I decided to say, Did anything happen to you along the way, Joe, that kind of pushed you away from God? He said, Yes, with a definite edge. I had no clue where this was going. So I said, what I always do in these type of conversations, I said, If you feel comfortable, Joe, can you tell me what happened? You never want to push someone to talk about something they are not ready to talk about when it comes to something very personal or very tragic. It has to be in their time frame to talk about it and not yours. That is a good thing I've learned through the years. Joe put his head down and just began to think. It was at that point in the conversation where the silence got very awkward. And after seemingly a very long time, he put up his head and said, Okay. Then he began to tell me how a stalker came after his daughter. And they had to get the police involved. He said the stalker then came after his wife. He stated that the stalker broke the restraining order and was arrested and put in the juvenile detention center. He was only 18 years old. One morning, he said, Joe said he was awakened at 5 a.m. by a blood-curdling scream from his daughter. He went running out of the bedroom, and there was the stalker standing in the middle of his house with a rifle. He had shot through the sliding glass door and come right in. Think for a second if this happened to you. What would you do with a gunman in your house? What would you, freeze? Would you protect your wife and kids? Would you know at that moment that a bullet that hits you in the right place could make your dreams of seeing Jesus face to face for the first time come true that day? But the man I was chatting with was not a believer. I said, "What did you do?" He told me that he rushed the gunman. The young man shot, hitting him twice in the stomach. He told me that he kept going and tackled the young man. As they were wrestling on the ground, Joe said it was very bloody. And the stalker slipped out of his hands and got away. He let me know that the police captured him down the road. He then told me that he was lying on the floor and thought, "Wait a minute. Where is my wife?" He got up, stumbled to the front door, opened it, and his wife was lying face down in the snow, shot and killed. The gunman had been waiting behind a bush with when his wife came home at 5 a.m., shot her, and then proceeded to the back door of the house and broke in. After he told me all of this, he looked at me and said, "I have a question for you." Mark Hale says, "Remember that conversations go back and forth." Even though I knew it was going to be a tough question, even though I knew there was a lot of emotions flowing in this conversation, I was intrigued with what he was going to ask me. He said, "How can there be a God when my wife is dead and this man is still alive in a prison in Ohio?" By the way, is that a legitimate question? That is as legitimate as they come. I said, "Joe, do you believe that each one of us has a free will?" He agreed that we did. I then let him know that once God gave us free will, we could choose to use that free will correctly, to have a good conversation like we were having, help the poor, love our families, etc. Or we could misuse that free will and lie, cheat, steal, rape, and murder. He saw my point. Sometimes we want to blame God for things that are truly not God's fault. Men and women make decisions that affect people's lives many years later. The real crux of the issue is that Joe misses his wife. Even though it had been many years, the loss was as fresh as it had happened as he told the story. Joe, do you believe each one of us has a free will? Yes. God in his mercy and his grace has given us a free will. None of us would want to be a robot. All of us would enjoy the fact that we can make choices in life. We can decide what we're going to do, what we're going to think, where we're going to go. And yeah, you know what? And we're giving the whole sermon here, but you know what? Man, isn't it amazing? We, with that free will, can choose our eternal destiny. And so life is about choices. The Bible gives us some thoughts on that. Romans 10:13. It says, "For whosoever shall," whosoever shall, whosoever will make that choice, "for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Of course, it's not just a title. It's real. The Lord. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, the people of Israel were brought to the land of Canaan. And they were on the other side of Jordan. And God said, I've written the Bible, the rules for your success of life. And he says this to them. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life, obedience to what God says, and death. Blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Yes, everyone has a free will. With our will, we choose what we do. We choose our actions. We decide if we're going to do right. We decide that we're going to do wrong. You know what? No one makes us do wrong. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know what? We like sin. Now, we don't all like the same sins, but we all like sin. And we all choose it. Because we can. That's our choice. That is how God made us. We have choices. We make choices. And even as we mentioned from Joe, we have this free will. We can make right choices, and we can make wrong choices. But we do it every day, don't we? Because we were made with a free will. But you know, not only with that free will do we decide what we're going to do, but we also, with that free will, we decide what our responses are going to be to other people's actions around us. That's important too. We choose how we are going to respond to life and the things that happen to us in life. You know, we can decide to forgive. You know that? We can decide to forgive. That's a big choice. We can say, as the Lord said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, that's a choice. We also could decide to be bitter, to hate. To find fault. That's a choice too. You know, most people want to cover up the fact that we have a free will. They want to make the bad responses they make to bad things not their responsibility. You know, you can identify with this. There was a young man, grew up in a home. There was eight children in the family. And their dad was a drunk. Spent their money on booze. When he was drunk, he came home. He beat up his wife. He beat up the kids. He was mean. He did a lot of bad things. They always were struggling financially because he wasted his money on booze. It was a difficult situation. You know, you would think Common sense would tell you, every one of those kids, after living that nightmare, would hate alcohol. You'd think that. Remember hearing that story, out of the eight kids, one decided to hate alcohol. The others decided to use the abuse of their growing up as an excuse to become alcoholics themselves. You know, it was a choice. Life is full of choices. We have a free will. You know, our life, our world is full of bitter people. I'm not saying they're not hurting, but it's the wrong choice. It's the wrong choice. It's self-destructive. It also destroys everyone around them. But it's a choice. You know, some people would like to say, well, I didn't make that choice. Yeah, we did. And you know, life isn't fair. We live in a sin-cursed earth. We have to make sure that we praise the Lord. Isn't that great? We have a free will. We can decide to forgive and forget. We can decide it, just like that. Or we can decide to be full of hate and blame and live a miserable life. But guess what? We have a free will. We can choose that which is right. Now, the Bible also tells us that we have a free will, that we can decide what we think. There's a great verse in the Bible about thinking. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now this is getting down to a basic principle of life. We can choose what we're going to do with our thoughts. Now, I've done an accidental experiment once in a while. I was thinking, I don't even know what I was thinking, but it was bad things. And I was thinking that, and I'm thinking, you know what? If I keep thinking like this, I can get myself in trouble. I'm going to get myself in trouble. And that's exactly right. There's a lot of people today, they are in trouble. They call it mental health problems. And you know why? Because they have chosen to think the kind of things that destroy their mind and destroy their heart and destroy their thinking. And you know what? Isn't it great? I think it's great. I think it's just a marvelous thing. We can decide, hey, I'm not going to think that. I'm going to keep my mind thinking the right kind of things. You know, isn't that amazing? I think that's an amazing thing. All we have to do is decide what we're going to think. That's it. It's not a rocket scientist that has to figure that out. All you have to do is decide you're not going to think those things. You know what? We've been given a free will. It's marvelous. It's wonderful. It's the gift of God. We've been created with a will, a free will. Isn't that great? And so, our thinking. But think of something even bigger than that. We can choose our eternal destiny. Now, if you don't know the Bible, you're going to say, oh no, only God can do that. But sorry, that's wrong. It's based on wrong theology. You see, when people say you can't determine your destiny, you're thinking, like most people incorrectly think, that somehow your good works and your whatever religious deeds, and as many if you can add them up enough, that somehow they'd be added up enough, and somehow that will get you to heaven. Well, I'm sorry, that's not in the Bible. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. The Bible says, it says, for by grace, that means something that we don't deserve in any way, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's not something that you do. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. People say, well, show it to me in the Bible. It's there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Go look it up. Not of works. And a lot of people, works kind of fits into man's pride, you know. He wants to kind of feel good about himself and doesn't want to think that he's so bad. And you know, I'm going to do this religious deed. Now I'm going to feel good. And you know, people say, oh, people go to church. So, you know, they're just so holy. No, you know, people go to church because they know they're sinners and they need God's word and they need the truth. That's why people go to church, not because they're holy. But the Bible says, the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Here's another verse, John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You see, God has given us this free will. With that free will, we can decide to put our complete trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. We can decide as a sinner to turn from going our own way and turn to Jesus Christ and put our faith in Him. You know, thank God, it's a decision that a person can make. Now, a person can make the other decision too. Yeah, a person can say, oh, I don't need that. I don't need Jesus Christ. I got religion. I'm good enough. But I'm emphasizing today the wonderful thing that God has given us, a free will. We can choose our eternal destiny. We can choose it. You know what? God put everything in place. God commendeth his love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, not because we're good, no, because we're sinners, Christ died for us. He paid the penalty, all of it. All of our sin he paid for in Calvary's cross. Now we have the decision what we're going to do with Jesus. Are we going to receive him as our Savior and put our faith in what he did? Or are we going to try to mix that up and put a little bit of him and a little bit of our good works and a little bit of our religion? Well, it's a choice. So, isn't that amazing? Our free will. Now, let's kind of rehearse this a little bit. That's what it said in Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit of the Bride and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, that's a choice. Now, let's review this. All choices have consequences. Wrong actions bring defilement to the soul, trouble in life, separation from God. All choices have consequences. Right choices bring peace, joy, blessing, and eternal decisions as well. Have eternal consequences. We can make the right choice about Jesus Christ, and we can have forgiveness of sins and new life, or we can make the wrong choice, and we have to suffer the consequences ourselves. Now, people are going to say, you know, it's hard to make the right choice. You ever figure that out? Isn't that amazing? It's easy, you know, it's easy to make wrong choices. You know, a child doesn't have to do much thinking to decide that if they can get out of some kind of, repercussion of their bad action, it doesn't take them long to decide to lie, does it? Boy, just like that. Doesn't take long. I remember we had a summer program with kids one time, a summer camp, and we took these kids to Mr. Griffin's apple orchard. Mr. Griffin said, now, don't pick any of the apples. There's plenty of apples on the ground that are good. If you want one of them, you can have any one you want. And so we were in an apple orchard, and there was these nice apples on the tree, and I said to the kids, now, you see, there's those apples on, you can have any one of them, but you can't, don't, Mr. Griffin says, don't pick any of the apples on the tree. I had no longer said, don't pick any apples, than one of the boys went, grabbed the apple right off the tree. I mean, just like that. I mean, it was amazing. You know what? It didn't take them any time at all to make that choice. It's easy to make bad choices. That's because we're sinners. To make right choices can be very difficult. People say to me, Pastor, I'm not going to make any promises. If I come to church, I'll be there. But I don't want to make any promises. Don't want to make any promises. And I say to myself, okay, I respect that. But that is a lie. Do you know that? Promises. I mean, people make promises. They go to the car dealer and they sign on the line. They promise they're going to pay on that piece of metal. They're going to pay a payment for 6 years. They promise that. People, you know, they get a job and they're promising the boss they're going to come every day to work. And, you know, people even get mortgages. They make promises for 30 years that they're going to pay this amount of money on that house. I mean, people make promises all the time, don't they? But it's hard to make promises about spiritual things, isn't it? And I just thought real quickly here before we close, just to have some thoughts. There's some helps for making the right choices in life. Helps for making the right choices in life. One is learn the Bible before sin hardens your heart. Learn the Bible before sin hardens your heart. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You notice the sweetness. I mean, I know these wonderful daycare kids, you know, they aren't perfect and they're sinners. But you know what? Aren't they sweet? Aren't they sweet? You can almost see that innocence. And they're learning those verses and they're excited about it. Put a little age on there and put a little sin in it. What's it going to do to their heart? You know what it's going to do to their heart. That's the great value of learning God's word while you're young, before the sins of life harden the heart and make it even harder to do what's right. Helps for making right choices, train your children in the things of God. Proverbs 22:5 says, train up a child in the way he should go, And when he is old, he will not depart from it. I realize that is a big task. And my life isn't over yet. My child raising isn't over yet. Our youngest is, what is he? 21? 22. The last of 10. A lot of work. Lot of work. But the Bible is true. Train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. There's a price to pay. You know, practical note. You know, children are young. You have to make choices for them. You know, we have a wood stove. And little kids come to our house. Immediately we tell them, we go over there and we take their little hand and let them feel the heat a little bit. And I says, hot! You know, hot! We don't want them to touch that stove. You know, so we're gonna put some effort into helping them make the right choice. We don't want them to make the mistake of touching that stove just to discover it. Which they would do on their own, wouldn't they? That's what they would do on their own. And so as a parent or as a friend, you help them make the right choice. And you know, as children get older, you want them to learn to make choices. But you don't give them choices that they can't handle. If they're going to make the wrong choice of an option, don't let them do it. Because the wrong choice will ruin their life and their soul. But when they have been molded well enough to make the right choice, then let them make it. That's important. They exercise their free will in doing that which is right. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, folks, don't believe the lie of the world. Don't say, well, they did it right. No, that's not the way it is. Yes, children are sinners. But the weaknesses my children have is because I didn't train them right. Because God has a plan that doesn't fail. Helps for making the right choices. Be around the right kind of people. Be not deceived. Evil communications. Now that's an old English word that means today companions. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You know, parents ought to decide who your children's friends are. They ought to decide, you ought to decide if they're a bad friend or not. Because evil communications corrupt good manners. And that's the truth for adults, too. Adults that are around the wrong kind of crowd, the wrong kind of situation, guess what? It's going to be even more difficult for them to make the important decisions about God in their life. That's just the way it is. That's life. You know, what are we talking about? We all need help to make the right choices. And of course, and this kind of goes both ways, but lastly, one of the best things could ever happen in your life and mine. It already happened in mine. That made a tremendous change in my life about making right choices. It was the day that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. And God gave me a Christian will. God gave me a Christian will. You know what's different between a Christian will and an unchristian will? Well, here's the verse. It's up there. Hebrews 10:16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. What it's really saying in common terms is that when a person truly accepts Jesus Christ and the gift of eternal life found in Him, they put their faith in Him, they're born again. They get a new will. That's just amazing. Can you imagine getting a new will? I mean, it's the truth. A new will. Instead of a will bent on sin, a will that is bent toward right. Can you imagine that? Now, I give you a little clue here. It happens with children, too. When children accept Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about this religious form stuff. I'm talking actually call upon Jesus Christ as a sinner to be their Savior. Guess what? You know what happens? They get a new will. I remember a boy. His name was Jonathan. Oh, man. His parents were great Christians. But Jonathan, he was unbelievable. He was one of the naughtiest boys I ever saw in my life. And it didn't matter. I mean, he was naughty. I mean, he was naughty. I mean, he was just a terror. And, you know, they just, you felt bad for him. They'd bring Jonathan to church, and he would do all sorts of bad things in class, and he'd do bad things in junior church, and he did bad things in the nursery, you know. I don't know if he hit any heads together or not, but he was bad. He wasn't mean, but he was just naughty. And, you know, Jonathan got saved. And there's a tremendous change in his life. You would never know it today. You would never know it. You'd think that, boy, this is the, you know, the most polite. Still not perfect, but, you know, you'd think, boy, I can't imagine that this was a naughty, 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 naughty. Oh, he, you know what? He got saved. I've had 10 children who I'd hate to think of trying to raise them without them coming to Christ at an early age. I mean, it was tough enough as it was. But if they didn't have that new will, man, I wouldn't have gray hair. I'd have none. You know, we're talking about making right choices. We have forgotten in this world in which everybody is to blame. You know what I mean? Everybody's to blame. You know, everybody's to blame. And that's how, it's this, it's that, you know, something's to blame, you know. And I don't want to get on that one. You probably won't like what I'll say. But you know what? There's an answer to that. It's reclaiming what God said of how we were made. We were made with a will. Now, it goes both ways. It goes both ways. It's a positive and a negative. Because we have a free will, we are now responsible for everything we think, we say, and we do. We are responsible for everything we think, we say, we do. That's both negative and positive. We have a free will. We have the ability to choose that which is right. We have the ability to choose our future. We can have the ability, if we are going to have a relationship with God or not, we can choose. And no one can stop us. We can choose to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And if we do make that important choice, we will receive the gift of eternal life and we will become a new creature. And you know what? Isn't it amazing how simple a truth that is? We can choose to ignore it. We can choose to brush it off. We can choose to do whatever, or we can choose to do something about it. And you know, let me give you one more illustration now, close. Did you ever, and I don't want to be unkind to anyone here, because there's some real issues out there in life, and it's terrible. But you know, in the Bible, and forgive me for using this illustration, but this is easy. Do you realize in the Bible does not use the word alcoholic? You realize that? The Bible does not use that word. Now, the Bible uses the word drunkard. But you know what? Those are two opposite words. You know what the word alcoholic is? The word alcoholic is a word that says, you are in bondage to this thing. It's not your fault, and you can never change. That's what the word alcoholic means. Now, there's a lot of other words like that out there, right? But you know what the word drunkard means? Drunkard means somebody made a choice. It was a bad choice. And they made a choice to allow alcohol to dominate their life. But since it is a choice, now we can do something about it. We can choose to ask Jesus Christ, the only one who can forgive us, we can ask Him to forgive us. And He will. And not only will He forgive us, but because we recognize that we made a bad choice, we can now make the right choice and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, and He can help us make all the right choices about that and be completely free. That's right. I mean, completely free. I mean, free. You know why? Because life is a choice. Someone said to me, what about such and such? What about this bad sin? What about that? Aren't people born that way? I said, no, people aren't born that way. But let me tell you what. It's a choice. And Jesus is the only one that can free them from that choice. But even though a person is in bondage, they can still make the choice to accept Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will free them. How do you like it? Do you like choice or fatalism? I like choice. It's glorious. Now, bad choices, that's responsibility that we don't want to face up to. But choice, the free choice, is a wonderful thing. And you know, you're here today and you are a Christian and you are living a half-hearted Christian life, you know what? It's because you chose to. You're a Christian and you have bitterness in your heart, and all you can do is see the negative of somebody, what somebody did wrong, and you're just negative, negative, negative. Guess what? That's your choice. You can be free from that. You can choose to forgive and be free. I think it's a marvelous thing. You know, as a parent, you can make a choice about what kind of home you're going to have. And you know what? That's all it takes. There's nothing more to it than that. Isn't that marvelous? All you have to do is make the choice that you are going to have Jesus Christ as the center of your home. And guess what? Your future is now all set. Isn't that marvelous? That's all it takes. Because God has given us this wonderful, wonderful free choice. A free will. And I want to leave that with you today, because that's what our life is made up of. It's centered around a choice. And today you can exercise that choice for eternity by choosing Jesus Christ. Or you can exercise your choice and say, forget that. It's a choice. That's what life is made of. And the good choices are great. Bad choices are awful. But God has given us the free will to make those choices. Let's close in prayer. Father, now we thank you for this marvelous truth in the Bible that mankind has been given a free will. Lord, our hearts are wrenched and torn and burdened by the results of even Joe and his family, this man who exercised his free will and brought such misery to that home and life. Lord, we don't like to admit that bad things are because we choose them. And here's a man who chose something mighty terrible. We wouldn't want to give up our free will, but that has two sides. Now, Lord, I pray that this great truth will ring in our hearts today, that everyone will leave here today stirred in their soul about this very, very important issue. And more than that, I pray that, Lord, that we will stand up, rise up, lift up our head, and say, instead of drifting in life or going the wrong way, we will decide that we're going to exercise that will and choose life. Choose God. Choose the truth, eternal truth of His Word. And more than that, to choose to receive Jesus and the free gift of eternal life that only He can give. And so, Lord, work in each heart. While our heads are bowed and eyes closed, I don't know what burdens you carry today, but maybe the Lord has shown you an answer for your life. And it can be varied in many different ways. It's an answer about what you need to do with Jesus Christ. Maybe it's just an answer of how to deal with the troubles and misfortunes of your life and choosing to forgive. Maybe it's choices that you need to make that make your family successful and a blessing, and make the future one of joy and not regrets. And heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one's looking around, just between you and me, you say, Pastor Roberts, you know, God has impressed upon my heart that there are some decisions for right that I need to make. And I realize those are difficult decisions. And you say, Pastor, would you pray with me? Would you pray for me privately, not in your life? And remember me in closing prayer today. I'll not name your name, of course. say, you know, there's some important decisions I need to make and exercise my free will for God and for what is right. And would you pray for me? Anyone here today? Just lift up your hand wherever you might be. Okay. I see those hands. Good. Others? Okay. I see that hand as well. There's an important decision that I need to make. And thank God he's given me a free will to make those decisions. Anyone else? Now, Lord, we thank you for those that have been stirred enough to raise their hand. And we know that in a crowd this size, that's a big, big step and a big decision, a big need. And Lord, now I pray you'd show yourself powerful and wonderful and strengthening that will to do the right thing. And might you work in that life as only you can for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.